Sometimes it so happens that the Lord has a different purpose for my sermons. And I had worked on this sermon based on Isaac and Jacob, or Esau and Jacob, for a couple of weeks. I kind of jot down some notes, do a little reading, nothing terribly intense until about 2 or 3 days before the actual event happens. And so it was on Friday night, as I was putting a few things together, it became apparent to me that that was not the sermon that God wanted me to preach. And so, true to form, I said, "Okay, God, it's in your hands. I've done all I can do." And God, in his mercy, said, "Just shut up and do what I tell you." So this sermon is not going to feature Jacob and Esau. Rather, this is going to be, once again, about the parable of the sower and the varying soils. So buckle your seatbelts. I don't really know where this is going to go, but we're going to find out together. Kind of makes you nervous, doesn't it? Presbyterians in the midst of uncertainty. But we will take this journey today together. W. Forrest Lanier was my first pastor who I also had as a boss. He was the pastor at the Northside Drive Baptist Church. It was a Baptist church, but not obnoxiously so. It was kind of like, more like Presbyterians. It was people who had advanced degrees. It was college professors. It was teachers. It was administrators. It was government officials. A good crowd. And Forrest Lanier used to trot out this sermon whenever things were kind of slowing down, when the horses were showing some signs of fatigue and attendance dropped, and then maybe the receipts dropped from the offering plates. And whenever he sensed that things were starting to lag, he would break out this sermon about the sower and the seeds. And he would use it to whip the people into shape. "Oh, some of you are the hard-packed soil. The word comes to you and you do nothing with it. And the birds of misfortune come and eat the seeds. And some of you are like that. And others of you, well, you're like the thorny receipt of the word. The seed comes to you, and the cares of the world carry you off. And you go to soccer games on Sunday mornings instead of church. And some of you are like the hard, rocky soil. The word comes to you and it takes a little bit of root. But when adversity comes, you give it up and the word withers and dies." I thought that was a pretty good impersonation of it. Like I said, it was Baptist, but not obnoxiously so, except when he trotted out this sermon, which he tended to do about twice a year. I hate this passage. I will tell it to you plainly. I have never liked it. Every time I've heard it preached upon, it has been a word of judgment. And, you know I'm a louse. I don't need people to tell me that. I don't need a guilt trip, thank you very much. I've got a whole lifetime of misdeeds and regrets. I don't need somebody else pointing them out to me, thank you very much. And I suspect you are the same way. Let me suggest to you that this passage today is not about the soil. Let me say that again. This passage is not about the soil. It's not about you and me. This has nothing to do with our receptivity to the word. Rather, this passage has to do with the marvelous abundance of the sower. The sower. That marvelous abundance which scatters the seed wherever it might go. Now, my first parish was a rural parish, mostly farmers, and I learned a whole lot about farming and wells and septic tanks and the center pivot irrigation systems, which they called the center pivot irritation systems. And these guys would drive tractors that were programmed, and it would plunge the seed at exactly the right depth for it to germinate. And seed was not wasted. Neither was fertilizer nor water. Everything was getting computerized in those days. And it was a marvelous thing to watch. Their tractors were guided by satellites now. Oh, it's a marvelous thing. But you compare that to the sower today in our gospel lesson. And he just throws that seed out with reckless abandon to any place that will possibly take it, knowing full well that there are places where it might not take. Let me suggest to you that we can't identify ourselves as one type of soil or another because there is no consistency within us. That's part of our human nature. There are days when I am the rocky soil. There are days when I am the thorny soil. There are days when I am the fertile soil and everything in between. And God casts the blessings of his word upon me no matter what kind of soil I am that day. God doesn't care because he's got plenty of seed of his word to share. And God knows that every time I receive some of that marvelous broadcast of his word, his blessings, there is always the chance that it is going to take root and grow and become something that brings glory to the kingdom. You see, it's not about you and me and our abilities, our shortcomings, our glories or our despairs. God is constantly sharing with us his word, always with the knowledge. It may not grow today, but it may sit there and eventually take root. It's not about the soil. Actually, you see, it's about the seed. Seed can only bear fruit when it quits being a seed. I don't know a whole lot about gardening. I don't plant many seeds. I like to go to Home Depot or Quinn's or some other place and buy my plants that are already established. I can usually handle those okay. I'm not patient enough to plant a peony seed and wait to see what happens. But I know how those peonies come. It's because that seed breaks its shell, takes root, and grows. When I was at the University of Georgia, you had to take a lab science, okay? A lot of people took biology. And I heard horror stories about biology. It was the freshman flunk out class. It was an auditorium three times this size, packed full of freshmen. And I decided anything has got to be better than that, so I took botany. Little did I know. Oh, Lord. My first quarter, we were still on quarters back then, back in the dark ages. My first quarter, class started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My grandfather was so mad at me, that was my first class of the day. The second quarter, winter quarter, I had to be there at 7:50. And you had labs, and you had to be early because the lab techs said, if you're here on time, you're late. If you're here 10 minutes early, you're on time. Oh, it was awful. And it was all chemistry and learning terms like the apical meristem of a plant. I can still remember that. I also can identify leaves and roots. That's about it. The seed miraculously grows, not because of what we do, but of what God provides. Now, see, that takes a whole lot of responsibility off our shoulders, doesn't it? God sows the seed. We may or may not provide a welcome habitat for it. On our best days we do, on our worst days we don't, but even despite our predilections, God sends what is needed for that seed to burst its shell, take root, and grow. I just thought about that Friday night and yesterday and woke up in a cold sweat this morning about 3 o'clock because I was going to launch out on something that I had no idea whether this word would fall upon you and germinate or not. Some of you will say, well, preacher, you've given it plenty of fertilizer this morning. Same ones who told me I need to keep my sermon short because there's already plenty of hot air out there. But I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the fact we're not perfect. We're not always going to be consistent in what kind of soil we are. And guess what? That's okay. Because God uses what we have and what we are to make us into what God wants us to be. Sounds a whole lot like Presbyterian predestinationalism, doesn't it? Well, you know, there might be something to that stuff. I'm not going to get into that today. Suffice it to say, God calls, sends the seed. We receive it or not, but God will always find a way to bring about the increase of his word. There it is. Short, sweet, simple, and seed-bearing. Let's pray together. Almighty God, with gracious and grateful hearts, we come before you. Fill us with your seed, your word, even when we're not receptive, and guide us to be the hospitality field of your kingdom, even when we don't fit all the criteria. Guide us and keep us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.